think of class action lawsuits and long-term care homes. There are some underway. If this bill passes, it would ensure anyone making, quote, an honest effort to follow public health guidelines won't be exposed to liability in civil proceedings. What's this going to do to those civil lawsuits, the ones now being launched by, among others, my next guest, Stephen Berman, a lawyer at Thompson Rogers, involved in a class action lawsuit against long-term care homes. Mr. Berman, good morning.
Good morning.
Who do you represent, sir, first, just to give us the background on the class action lawsuit?
Yeah, sure. So we represent residents, victims of deceased at six of the worst, most hardest hit long-term care homes in Ontario. Two of them are Ottawa homes, Carlingview Manor, which is a Revera home, and West End Villa, which is an extended care home, and a few Ontario homes as well. All are victims have suffered COVID and death arising therefrom, and they were all in the for-profit system.
And what are your claims as you wait for the go-ahead on the class action lawsuit from the courts in terms of the errors that were made by the owners?
So, there's a number of them. They're well documented, of course, in the Armed Forces reports and in the hospital reports. All of the homes that were involved in, again, these are like the most egregious homes where hospitals have taken over or the Armed Forces have gone in. And the claims relate to, failure to cohort COVID and non-COVID patients, PPE-related issues, all sorts of issues, everything that you've heard of in the news and that's being looked at by the Long-Term Care Commission right now. There's just so many of them.
All right. So with this new piece of legislation, it says anyone making, quote, again, honest effort to follow public health guidelines wouldn't be exposed to liability in civil proceedings. How could this affect your case?
Right. So it does say that, but there's a window of exclusion for gross negligence. So it can and may affect some cases because the standard or the bar or establishing civil liability is now higher.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's gone and that there's no right to pursue liability, but the government has certainly raised the bar, which is surprising because one would think at a time like this, we shouldn't be making it more difficult or easier for negligent conduct to be accepted. And it's all the more surprising because the Long-Term Care Commission is still hard at work, and the Premier has talked extensively about ensuring accountability in the system. And the one thing that's inconsistent with accountability is offering legal immunity to insurance companies and to the long-term care private home operators. So I'm not sure why there's this push to protect the insurance companies here, and especially to do it in a retroactive way. The legislation basically says rights are extinguished, which is a pretty dramatic and unusual thing, to just extinguish rights for those who are currently part of lawsuits. Now, our argument, of course, will be that the rights aren't extinguished because our claims meet this gross negligence standard. But still, that's what the legislation says, and it's going to add a layer of challenge to these claims, and it really is an insult to injury to our plaintiffs and claimants.
Could part of this be political lobbying on the part of lobbyists representing insurance companies?
Lots of questions about that. There are lots of connections between insurance companies and our government, and between the long-term cares, some of the lobbyists in the long-term care system and some of the board members in our government. So there's lots of questions about that. I mean, we don't know what goes on behind the doors.
But we have questions about that. Yeah, and I get them. I have them too. That being said, what does the government have to gain by giving the insurance companies when people are dying? And it's only going to make them look bad potentially.
I don't know, because it is such a bad look. I mean, I'm very interested to see how the Premier answers questions about this today and what the justification is. I mean, I can see some justification if you're talking about, forward-looking potential claims that are associated with kids' activities or recreational sports leagues. But when you're talking about the long-term care system where the catastrophe has happened, and when you're talking about underlying issues that existed prior to the pandemic that in our view led to the spread and led to the terrible outcome in Ontario, worse really than any other province or jurisdiction in the world that we know of. Why protect these private operators, and why protect the insurance industry? I can't make that case for them. I've heard it argued before that there's this concern that some of the operators won't be able to get insurance anymore if they don't have some protection. I don't really buy that. Insurance is a very broad and market. If there's concerns about getting insurance, there's a lot of things you can do short of It's the most draconian of restricting or extinguishing legal rights. So I've heard that said. It's a kind of a common insurance industry, common argument, but I've never seen any evidence of it before. So I don't know what the government really has to gain here. That's really the question that we need to ask.
Okay, back to the bar being raised. You have to prove gross negligence now under this new legislation if it's passed. How difficult is to do that when you have to look at the actions of a private company and then deaths? Isn't it done for you there?
Well, it's hard enough to prove ordinary negligence, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, so what is the difference between negligence and gross negligence?
Okay, so the difference, we've looked into this overnight, because let me tell you, gross negligence is not really something that is ever required in any other statute that I'm aware of.
Wow.
So it's a very unusual and high standard.
Which says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Sure does. So what the Supreme Court has said is that gross negligence, and this dates back to old motor vehicle car accident cases where there used to be a gross negligence standard. What they've said in the past is that gross negligence is very great negligence. Okay, so you can interpret that as you will, but instead of acting badly, it means you've acted very badly or a huge departure from the norm. Now, the cases have also said that when you start to look at this departure from the norm, you can look at all the things that went wrong. So we're seeing such a litany of missteps here, and they're being well documented by the commission, that I'm very confident that we will be able to make out gross negligence claims. It's just going to be a lot harder and more expensive and result in more delay and more hurdles. But again, I come back to the point about the commission and their investigation and all the things that they're currently finding. I don't really understand why you would do this at all, but certainly why you would do this when a commission that you've appointed is still investigating the situation.
As an industry, and as a society, and as a province, have we learned from the mistakes when all those deaths were recorded in long-term care homes the first time around, and now that we see a resurgence of COVID-19 in long-term care homes today? Are they safer today than they were 6 months ago, the residents?
You know what? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Well, I would like to hear a yes, because we are supposed to learn from these lessons.
I don't have the. I've never. We can't go. No one can really go inside.
Yeah.
And maybe now there's some of the homes are letting some family members in, but we don't really know. I imagine that they're better prepared. I mean, we've all learned in the last 6 months about COVID-19. I mean, at the beginning there were things that nobody knew, and we all know more now. There's no question about that. But there are some underlying factors when it comes to staffing and pay and the architectural design of some of these places that just can't be changed overnight. And they remain extremely high-risk places. I think the one thing some of them have going for them, in my view, from everything I've read, is they've got better relationships now with the hospital systems, and they're more likely to ask for help when needed. I think at the beginning it was a situation of nobody knew what was going on, and nobody knew when to ask for help or who to ask for help. So I think some of these homes are certainly better prepared for this second wave, but I they should still be held to the normal legal standard of negligence. I don't know why we'd want to lower the bar for them. And I just don't get it. It's quite mystifying.
Yeah, society failed the seniors, and now we're trying to protect those who are accused of doing so. Stephen Berman, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Cheers. Lawyer Thompson Rogers involved in that class action suit against long-term care homes. 10:17, we'll take a quick break. News Talk 580 CFRA.